Hammer, good morning. That would be a big hit.
Maybe. Well, they're working on the Beyond Turkey right now. Then we'll go to the four-legged turkey.
So there'd be four legs. And everybody.
You could shape it any way you wanted to, I guess.
That's a little creepy, actually, that suggestion. I'm going to back off that. How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, fantastic. Oh, it was great. Had the two-legged turkey. It was great. And here in cold L.A., for the first time in 20 years, we spent Christmas in L.A. And usually we head up north to San Francisco, which we could not have gotten to, by the way, yesterday, as the road was closed. I-5 was closed at the Grapevine most of the day because of snow and ice, and
wow.
even through last night. So, I mean, that's the short way. Obviously, there's other ways. You can go up Highway 101, which is a little bit longer, but more scenic. But the main artery, I-5, closed, Grapevine. So we were kind of kidding around that we wouldn't have been able to make it anyway. But, last year we were in Florida. But haven't have been back here 20 years. And we may have spent the first one here, but every other year we've traveled. It's a great time to travel and visit other cities because there's not a lot of people around. But tell you what, we had a great time. And you mentioned the leftovers. Tina got into it. Well, Gina, my wife, she had to come clean. She dipped into the sea's candy already. So we are officially into food month.
That's exactly right, and I haven't even thought about what I'm going to lay out here for the next couple of days. I mean, there'll be a soup. We'll take the carcass. We'll do a turkey soup, which you just can't beat. There's nothing like it. And every year, one of my favorite casserole kind of things is turkey divan with the broccoli and turkey and a kind of a cheese cream sauce over baked.
That doesn't inspire me much. But one of the beauties about cooking is you don't have to cook anymore because it's already been cooked. It's a heat up job from now on out. But I'll tell you what, it rained yesterday and it rained Wednesday. I got in yesterday morning early. It rained and it had let up a little bit this morning, and it was 35 degrees this morning here in LA.
Wow.
That's a wow. Went out and checked two thermometers. Actually went to the car to check and see, not that that's 100%, but yeah, they're all having around 35. So it's a chilly move. Chilly Thanksgiving weekend, but supposed to warm up tomorrow. And they got pounded even worse down there at Del Mar. And so I just wanted to mention that this call about doing that with this, they got 2 or 3 inches of rain. Del Mar is not built for the rain. And I mean, I don't mean just the racetrack. I mean, the city, they don't have, it rains like this once every decade, and I'm not kidding. And the barn area itself, just imagine a cereal bowl, and you pour a couple of wheat Chex in there, and imagine those are the barns. And then when you put the milk on, that's the rain. That's what happens. It's in a little basin. And so it doesn't take water well, the backside, not that that has a whole lot to do with it, but just in general. So in this case, it was a good, very good call because it's like I said, it's not Aqueduct, it's not the fairgrounds, it's not Santa Anita. It's just not built for rain, for the fans or for anything. So in the rare occasion that we get that much, it was a good idea to not run yesterday.
Well, they're two for two then, because last week the same thing. And you and I talked off air, and I made the point the other day that this is a bit of a dangerous slippery slope, literally. But I guess it, in this particular case with them in a vacuum, it was a smart move. But
this would have happened in any situation. I don't think, obviously with all the eyes on here anyway. I mean, there's a reason when the racing gods from years ago laid out the schedule here that Del Mar raced in the summer, and that's when they raced and not any other time. And they added this new fall meet 4, 5, 6 years ago. And they can get some rain there. But this would have happened if things were normal here. I mean, this was, I mean, that's how bad, I mean, that's how much rain was here. It was not a pretty situation down there. They just don't handle it. That's all. It's not built for it. Like I said, the town itself's not built for it. So in this case, like you said, it was a good deal. And I believe me, they had a dinner there, a brunch there, groups come out on Thanksgiving. It was the last thing that they wanted to do business-wise. And that's the telltale sign. They weren't going to give up any business. There was a shot that they could, you know, get a day in. So just want everybody to know this is unusual for rain at Del Mar, and especially for the amounts that they got. Rarely do they get hit more than we do, but, you know, check the weather map. I mean, there's snow everywhere, and there's flash floods everywhere, so... It was a good deal. It really was.
Oh, this crazy. I discussed it at the time when we first heard the boom cyclone thing. I had Matt Shearer come and explain it to everybody. Got the weather phenomena that we, you know, never heard of. We had a Thanksgiving Eve thunderstorm that was insane. I know it's, you know, doesn't compare to ice and snow and feet of snow, but bad timing.
Yeah, that's all that was. And anyway, it's all good timing. I heard you mention it's always a good Thanksgiving when the Cowboys lose, and boy, of course. But us, and it, you know, it just makes everything, makes the gravy heat up and everything else. Did you see? I mean, anyone who wants to complain about our stewards, the referee. I mean, Buffalo had to beat the Cowboys and the referees. They tried everything to keep Dallas in that game last night. It was sickening. All these phantom calls, and they gave him a touchdown when the guy wasn't even close, hoping they wouldn't overturn it. It's a mark at the end of the game when he clearly had the first down. I mean, it makes you sick. So. It makes some of our calls will look a lot better, but it's trying to push. It was unbelievable. But it was, like you said, it's a nice when the Cowboys go down on Thanksgiving. Oh, just wonderful.
Yeah, as if them having that game at home every year isn't enough of a advantage. 1/5, 1/16. It is a little silly. I mean, and I won't begrudge Detroit, because of course, you know, poor Detroit, you know, they're still looking for that elusive first Super Bowl for
still
them.
But drinking water.
Exactly, in Flint. But I don't get it. I really don't. It's an unfair, disproportionate advantage. I don't get it. You know, by the way, you mentioned those calls. I found a thing this morning inadvertently called Bad Sports Refs on Twitter. Have you seen? Oh my God! Yeah, you go get it. Go follow it.
I will.
Bad Sports Refs, just terrific. 68,000 followers, and they show video of ridiculous calls and non calls, and it's selective. They're not unfair about it either. They seem very. Well. Right? I mean, just straightforward.
Well, it's right, because obviously the networks, they don't show that anymore. If there's a call that could be a phantom call, you see them. They told the guys to shut up, and they don't show it on TV anyway, anywhere. So if you have to kind of do it yourself, but you don't get the views. But anyway, some of that was terrible. But moving on, I wanted to bring up one thing, which I don't know if you brought up during the week, and maybe you did, was Corey Nakatani. Retired, and he hadn't ridden in a while because he was coming off an accident and decided to retire. And I mean, I think he is an automatic Hall of Famer with some of the numbers that he's put up and just who he had to run against. There was one number that stood out for me. He's won almost 4,000 races. I know that, but he went 340-some graded stakes, and 120 grade one races. For some reason, that number just jumped off the page at me. And I spent a while yesterday trying to find lists of that, and I couldn't. Grade one winners, who won the most, who didn't, and I couldn't. So the number just didn't make sense to me. I actually went through on Equibase and went through all of his wins or stake wins and actually counted to see if that was right. I got 118, so I'm sure the 120 was right because I counted by hand. And then I needed something to compare that with to see what kind of a number that was. So I looked up Gary Stevens, and I counted his by hand, and I came up with like 149 or something, which makes sense that he would have more. But 120 grade one races is a pretty darn good number. And I went through and looked at some of the – you got to remember, Corey Nakatani, when he came aboard probably in the early 90s out here, day in, day out, he was riding against Stevens, Hall of Fame, Dalhousie Hall of Fame, DeSormo Hall of Fame. DeSormo was in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pinkai Hall of Fame, Solis Hall of Fame, McCarron Hall of Fame, Victor Espinoza Hall of Fame. So this was a daily deal. I mean, this was day in, day out for 20 years. And anyway, I actually thought he was in the Hall of Fame, Corey was. But anyway, I wanted to say he was quite an athlete, quite a guy. Earlier in his career, he did like to talk. Maybe he said a few things in the wrong places at the wrong time when owners were around and things, but that was Corey. Maybe got him in a little trouble sometimes, went through a few agents along the way, but boy, could he ride. And I just wanted to bring that up, that he'll be missed around here. I think they're having something at Del Mar tomorrow on the 30th. A little celebration down there because that's where they're racing. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up.
No, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. And, you know, I think a lot of people, because of the protracted time away, and also because he had a few of those interruptions, you know, late in his career. But, you know what's funny about his record? And I think Garrett Gomez has the same. There's a real parallel. Breeders' Cup success in lieu of Triple Crown event success.
Yeah, I think he won, Corey, I think he won 10 Breeders' Cup races.
10 first, 10 seconds, 12 thirds.
Okay. Which, you know, obviously is a darn good number. And won a ton of other races. Did not win the Derby. But won a ton of other races. And anyway, was going through the – it's amazing. Like I said, I don't know where you find a list. I'm sure someone – I probably should ask Darren. Darren with a D Rogers, not Aaron Rogers. Where you can find a list. The list, like, who won the most grade one. I went all over the place, could not find it. I mean, like I said, I had to add them up. And when you're going through, you know, 300 and some races plus, and scrolling by and just, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, trying to add them up. It's amazing. And like I said, Gary Stevens was 150 grade one races, and Corey was 120 somewhere in there. So that's, who knows, if somebody has 200? I don't know. I doubt it, but maybe. But I don't know where to find that, but we'll see if we can get to it. I mean, he rode Light was one of the horses that put him on the scene.
Wow. Wow. Light. I love
right.
it. The horse that I think he's probably most associated with, for at least for people my age, would probably be Lava Man.
Yeah, it could be Lava Man. I think he wrote Shared Belief too at some point. I don't have Shared Beliefs thing, but Lava Man for sure. He was Love Hollywood Park. I think he won the Gold Cup there a couple times. He won numerous races at Santa Anita. Actually kind of put Doug O'Neill on the map too, to tell you the truth. So, a good guy. He traveled well too. He won a lot of races out of town. And, anyway, hey, Corey and a heck of a golfer too.
Is that right?
Never golf. Gosh, he could hit the ball a mile. And he'd like to talk about that too, especially out on the course. But anyway,
well, I'm glad you did. I want to bring in one race though that with him that, and I assume that just because of Deputy Commander, with how closely he must have been closely associated a little bit with Wally DeLazzi. Did he ride a lot for DeLazzi?
Well, he married one of his daughters. How's that?
Well, there you go. That ties the. There you go.
That probably was a little.
I didn't realize that. I didn't. I did not. I absolutely did not know that.
I mean, you can double check that. I mean, I think, and I don't want to say the daughter because I got that wrong, but yes, they're, so I think it was Michelle, but,
okay.
You can be Googling that while I'm here. My phone's not blowing up.
So he must be right. Okay.
But I mostly stay away from that, you know, relationship stuff on the track. You know, I don't want to know, but that was a real deal. But I'm pretty sure about that.
Well, Deputy Commander, that's one of the greatest Travers ever. And three noses on the line as on the wire as Durkin called.
So he's of that group that I mentioned, that, you know, the daily group. I mean, Stevens has gone, P-Val, I forgot to throw P-Val in that group as well. David Flores, you know, Victor Espinosa was in his prime, and Mike Smith was around for a little bit. But of that bunch, I mean, that might be the last of the bunch there. That was one of the all-time greatest jockey colonies there ever was, day in, day out, riding against each other back in the 90s, late 80s, in the 80s, 90s here in Southern California. But, he's the last of it. So that's pretty wild. I didn't think about that. Good guy. But they are racing today at Del Mar. I don't know if it was raining this morning. Some of the maps that we were looking at looked like there was still the end of the little whip there was headed down there. So I'm sure it'll be off today. And tomorrow they've got, I think, 5 turf races, including a couple of graded ones, which have a few shippers in them. And so I would think that it would have a little give to it, even today's Thursday into Saturday. Yes, because the temperatures will not get high enough to make that much of a difference. So you'll have to keep that in mind. Watch some of the earlier races, but they got the couple of the races tomorrow. The Sea Biscuit, which is, you know, oddly named on the turf, going to mile on the 16th. Chad sends back a horse that who's he having that one?
In the Biscuit?
Sacred Life.
Sacred Life, yeah.
I was thinking about another one. I think the horse to beat in there is Prince Earl, who was a Phil D'Amato type that has actually won a couple of horse races down there. Del Mar Turf Course is a real horse for course type of place. In the fact that if you've run there a few times and you haven't done well, you're probably not going to do well again. You know, fresh horses coming in first time, obviously you don't know, but next year is 10-1 there. I mean, so what? Throw out the last race in the Breeders' Cup Mile. I mean, next year's is a rough, tough customer. It's $1,000,005, so 10-1 in there for that one. But and you got to always watch out for Chad. I mean, he's the favorite. Castellano comes in to ride Sacred Life, coming in off an allowance win at Keeneland. But Prince Earl is the real deal. Then we get to the Hollywood Derby. I don't know if you've looked at that, but, you know, we just ran the Twilight Derby here, Full Film 11, and guess what? We had a bomber in there, Mo Forza. This race just looks like Bomb City in here as well. A bunch of nice horses, no standout. A couple of shippers here. Chad sends in Standard Deviation, who, you know, won the Jersey Derby. Not definitely a win machine, but he went off at 11-1 in that in the Hill Prince. And the winner of the Hill Prince, I think, is in here too as well, Neptune Storm. But there's a couple other horses in here that you know, Baffert's horse, Kingly, 20-1 on the board. I mean, just got beat a neck to older horses a couple races back. Going to show some speed. Who knows how they're going to like it a little bit soft. But, I mean, this horse has run with all these horses in here. He's 20-1 on the board. And then John Ortiz chips in across country. This horse, Mr. Dumas. And listed at 30-1 on the board. And, you know, headed in the right direction, won an allowance race, but won the Commonwealth over a good surface at Churchill, and 30-1. So I think horses like that are worth a definite look in here. I don't see, I mean, I would look for boxcars in this race, especially with the possible way the turf's going to be having a little give to it.
I don't disagree. And I talked earlier with Jay Privman, and, you know, in terms of style and you know, how the you know, being outposted affects things, because you bring up Mr. Dumas, I thought Succeed and Surpass, who I tried to get home in the Twilight Derby at a nice number. He draws the 13, is a little tactical and, you know, may not be crushed by, the outside post. I also brought up, Jeff Mullins with Jay, and, you know, Mullins to me, very intriguing. You know, I always think you go back to I Want Revenge and, you know, and the impressions that, well, the impressions you have of a trainer, Hammer, up, you know, up to a certain point. And then it seems to me that all, you know, all his runners now, or his good runners, are turf horses. And I you know, Albert Trani has seen that happen to him, as well, in terms of, you know, kind of a transition that made his bones, well, right? Am I right, or is that
No, you know what? That is right. And I think he won 3 Santa Anita Derbies in a row, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff. And you know, coming from the Arizona circuit and around, you know, you think dirt. And I think a lot of it has to do with some of his owners he's had for Red Baron. They've more known for their turf horses when they had horses with Daryl Vienna through the years, and he's picked up them a few years ago and done well. So you're right. River Boyne's another one that's on the turf for him. But that's a good call. You would, if you had quick, you know, on a speed round, turf, dirt, Jeff Mullins, you would say dirt, not even question. But that's a good call. His later good runners have been on the turf, but I think that's more of an ownership deal.
And that happens. I mean, that's not unusual. And it seems like, you know, like Albert Trani has fallen into that. And you bring up a point that I had forgotten. Buddy Gill, Castledale, and Buzzards Bay, 3 straight Santa Anita Derbies. And
right. They weren't household. They're not household names for sure. Yeah, I remember that. And I think Gary wrote a couple of them, maybe, Gary Stevens.
He wrote Buddy Gill, because he was pals. That was that group of the group from Idaho that were, they were like a force of nature. They were like human tornadoes wherever they went, from bar to bar. They were crazy, that group.
Yes, they were. And, well, I say were. They probably still are.
They probably still are.
Somewhere. Somewhere shaking at Boise right now, but yeah, three Santa Derbies in a row. That's quite a feat, especially back. You know, when
no one else has done it.
No, I'd be hard pressed to find somebody who went 2 in a row. To tell you the truth.
Oh, there's a bunch. There's a bunch of 2 in a rows.
Okay.
There's a bunch. Baffert's done it more than once, in fact. But Baffert the last 2. But Doug O'Neill did it with Golden Sense, and I'll have another.
I'll have another. Yeah. Okay.
How about Baffert with General Challenge and Indian Charlie? You had Lucas with Marfa and Muttering. Lucas won 3 times in 4 years. You also had, there was another one. Bob Wheeler won with Tompion and Silver Spoon back to back.
And it's funny, most of those horses you mentioned are. Went on to have pretty good careers. You mentioned Silver Spoon. I just remember reading about that horse. But yeah, read those 3 names of Jeff's again.
Buddy Gill, Castledale, and oh my gosh, Buzzards Bay, which is one of my favorite Santa Anita Derbies ever, with General John B. Wilco,
Fine.
And Giacomo.
Giacomo Fino Day, and Giacomo, of course, went out and upset him in the Kentucky Derby at 50-1. So, wild year there. Nothing real strong. I don't think it was a whole lot behind it. Those winners in those years, but still, and they were all prices. I remember that. So it was pretty wild. But you know, speaking of that, you know, you had Darren on, which I'm glad you did. It talked about the Derby field, which I think I might put a couple bucks on a couple of horses as well. But look at that! Look at those races tomorrow, the 2-year-olds. I mean, and there's no track in America that could do this except Churchill Downs, And it's actually pretty cool. I actually enjoy maiden races, maiden special races, especially the two-year-olds, kind of figuring them out. But to have a whole card of two-year-olds with two stakes and, three, four allowance races and maiden races going short and long, it's a pretty good card, to say the least. But like I said, I don't think I know there's probably not another track in America that could put this show on with just two-year-olds.
Who would of history of racing secretaries, who would appreciate this the most, Amber?
Brother Humphrey.
Bobby Humphrey.
No doubt about it, right? Well, he did it at Calder with back in the day, they had two-year-old days like this.
He created this concept.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
back
then, they weren't as high a quality, but Calder was a bastion of two-year-olds. They were everywhere, and that's where a lot of people sent them to get ready. And a lot of good, nice horses had their first career starts or wins down there in Calder. And like you said the other day, Calder might be over.
Yeah, in fact, I just heard from Mike Welch is tied up. Mike was going to join us, so we'll finish up with Jeff Siegel today, and we'll catch up with Mike next week. But I wanted to kind of get the Gulfstream kickoff in with him and talk the wrap up at Calder. But yeah, but Dave Casson winning the last race. If it is the last race, how perfect is that? If that's the case.
It's amazing how stuff like that happens. It's very fitting, without a doubt. So, anyway, very cool. And, they have 12 races, something I've never seen else I've never seen. They have 12 races, all two-year-old races. Steve Asmussen has a horse in every race.
How about that?
Oh, no, he doesn't. He missed the third. I'm just looking at it. He missed the third. He's 11 out of 12. I was
not bad.
I went too fast. But him and McPeak, I think McPeak has 10, and Ian Wilkes, who you had on the other day, he's got 9 or 10 in.
He's out of control.
He's out of control. He is. He's a good out of control, Ian. Yes. He's great. But, Finite's the favorite in the Goldenrod, rightly so, for Asmussen. But never been out of the exacta. His Glory, Tom Amos, coming off a nice allowance win. It looks fine to me. Bean, I heard you talking about Bean earlier. A lot of horses that lost their rider, a lot of two-year-olds that lost their rider have come back to win.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, the Breeders' Cup winner as well. But I don't see a whole lot wrong with that two-year-old. He's going off his favorite each time he ran. He's 12-1 in the program, so you're gonna have to beat the rail horses, no doubt about it, but definitely possible. In the boys race, once again, there's a huge favorite, 'Tis the Law. We all know the story here. The Sakatoga's boys coming back, skip the Breeders' Cup, which that's their right to do, and it's maybe going to be a good deal for them. But they come back fresh. Nice works over the track. I mean, it's going to be the prohibitive favorite, but a couple of the horses to look at there. I guess a little bit of Shotsky on the outside even. Won the Street Sense over the – not won the Street Sense, brand the Street Sense, only got beat a few lengths at large price. So, it could be an exact possibility. And the rail horse with Mark Cassie shipping in. Had his perfect – his stake experience last time, ran third, improving sort. Giroux gets back on, so – it'd be interesting to see what Tis the Law does, and then once again, you get a full day to digest to go into the future pool, and it'll be something to look at. Every time it comes out, of course, wouldn't it be great to get some fixed odds? It'd be wonderful, but it's got to happen one day. It's going to happen. I hope.
I agree.
Somebody will book it somewhere, but and then the Clark today, real quick.
Yep.
They like him, but. I've got a feeling this race is going to be could have some price horses in there. I like Fact Finding a little bit with Charlie's horse at 8-1, and then Mr. Freeze with Dale Roman, 2-for-2 at Churchill. I mean, he ran good in the swap last time. I don't know what the weather's going to be like, but I see a price in here. I don't see any superstar standouts. So really good racing at Churchill. They've done a great job there this meet. Ben talked to Ben the other day. He was very excited. He was putting out his last overnight for a while. And they head up the road to Turfway, and they with the money they're giving away there, they've really, really, really created a circuit there in Kentucky. And as I look at the cards here, I said, these are my people now. I said, a lot of these guys will be shipping to Oakland, and they're just names on a racing form right now. So I'm gonna have a lot of people to get to know down there, and they like to run their horses, which is what we like.
Well, Hammer, big weekend on tap, and when do you head back to Tucson?
Tomorrow, back to Tucson. It's like I'm coming and going. I'm not allowed to spend more than a couple of days in any one city now, I guess. But, yeah, I'll be back there tomorrow, and then I have to move out of the house that I've been staying in. Out in the desert, I'm moving it to Lowe's, excuse me. Lowe's Ventana Canyon for 10 days, so we'll have the place ready for you when you get there for the symposium coming on. So that'll be fun, and looking forward to it. Looking forward to get back to Tucson and enjoying the last 10 days there. I got to get a couple finals ready, and all that stuff. It was funny.
So, I love it. Well, anyway. Safe travel home and or back anyway, and we will talk next week, and I will see you in a matter of, about 9-10 days.
Yeah, it'll be all good. All right. Well, that's good. You better wrap this up before Tina gets into that turkey too much there.
The dark meat, she's the dark meat preference, so I'm free and clear.
You're good.
Yeah.
Good. I got the same deal here, so I'm always good too. So anyway. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Rick Hammerly, everybody. Away they go on Twitter. We're going to stay right here for the last 15 minutes to close out the holiday weekend preview. And as we bring Jeff Siegel in, let me mention, I don't want this to go by because somebody that was important to so many people around the industry, and tomorrow at Fairgrounds, they will run the Richie Shearer Memorial and big overflow field. Hotshot Anna will be a likely favorite, but more than the horses involved is the emotion and the love for Richie, who's missed every day. By countless people around the sport. Fairgrounds tomorrow. Right now, Jeff Siegel joins us. Jeff, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was very good. Was in Maui for the first 3 days of the week. Flew in on the red eye. Got back Thursday for Thanksgiving, and now just kind of kicking back and going to enjoy some incredible racing around the country. I'm overwhelmed. I mean, there's so good racing from all so many different places. It's just kind of, wow. I mean, it's kind of, I'm going to sit back and enjoy it.
It should be really starting this afternoon. Terrific. And in fact, these cancellations that are I think, going to become more the norm when bad weather rolls in, by all rights, cards, then, the subsequent cards become the beneficiary, and we end up with fuller fields, even if it's in the short term in some cases. But, it also forces you, to look at other, at other action if you want to play, and you can find, you can certainly find a place to focus in on. And now we've got this 3 days of terrific racing. Let's get Del Mar out of the way first with you, and then I'll let you do some simulcast plays. But talk about this closing weekend at Del Mar and what's jumping off the page at you.
Well, of course, it's the Turf Festival, what they call. They have so many good racing, so many good races for grass horses. Kind of the end of the year here, because obviously there's no grass racing at Los Alamitos in the month of December, so give us grass horses a chance in California to have one last go before getting a little bit of freshening, which doesn't hurt any horse. You got some shippers out here as well to make it interesting. We had a lot of rain, as you know, so I'm not really sure what the condition of the course is. We rarely get rain at all at Del Mar. Certainly during the summer meeting, you don't get it. So I don't know what kind of shape the grass courses. You know, I'm going to have to go, you know, maybe take a look at that and see if there's any substantial give in the ground. But some good racing today. Very, very good racing Saturday and Sunday, and finishing off the year with a, you know, some significant racing, and also with good 2-year-olds as well. There's good 2-year-old racing, both in the stakes ranks and in maidens as well. So a really fine couple of days coming up at Del Mar.
Let's hit a couple of spots. You want a little Hollywood Derby and Matriarch? I mean, those are the two big grade ones.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm looking at the card for tomorrow. There's I'll go in, you know, chronological order. The Jimmy Durante is a 2-year-old race on grass, which looks interesting, and there's a filly in there stripping out from Chad Brown's barn, Princess Caroline. American Pharoah filly, the half to Lady Eli, she was going to be my selection for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Missed the race, minor problem, but obviously is doing well. I'm very curious to see how she performs after that scintillating maiden win at Belmont back in late September. Now, she's drawn way out in the 12-0, but if she's just what she's what I think she is, I think Princessa Caroline can win the Jimmy Durante. That goes as the second tomorrow at Del Mar, so that's the first big grass race I'm interested in. There's a race called the Red Carpet going a mile and 3/8 in the fourth race at Del Mar tomorrow, kind of a mini marathon. Keeper of the Stars, I know you like her. She's kind of try to stretch her abilities to a mile and 3/8. Very impressive, winning the Autumn Miss at a mile at Santa Anita at a big price at 5-1, and we'll see if she can go a mile and 3/8. I think she can. Midnight Lute, 3-year-old filly trained by Jonathan Wong. So looking forward to that. She's 3-1 on the morning line. Later on, the Seabiscuit Handicap in the sixth race tomorrow, and that brings out Sacred Life, another Chad Brown shipper that was very impressive, I thought, winning an overnight race at Keeneland, second in the Bernard Baruch before that over Soft Ground, which was a good race for him. So he's a ex-French colt that I think is going to be an important member in the older turf division next year, and it'd be nice for him to start things off with a win in the Seabiscuit. That goes as the sixth. There is a maiden race that I think is significant tomorrow in the seventh race. Bob Baffert's got a first-time starter, a 2-year-old filly, sprinting on the main track. Her name is Golden Principle, on yet another Constitution from the first crop of that. Incredibly successful young stallion by Tappet. She's done everything in the morning like a really good filly. I think this is one of his better ones. And 3-1 on the morning line. I'm very much looking forward to see how Golden Principle runs in the seventh tomorrow. The Hollywood Derby goes as the eighth. Kind of the same faces looking at each other, but I don't think Mo Forz is winning the Twilight Derby at 18-1 with any fluke. He had the extreme outside post. He pressed a hot pace. He put away the pace setter. He held sway. I know Joel Rosario is he can't come out. He's committed back east. But Paco Lopez picks up the mount for Peter Miller and inside draw. I don't see any reason why Mo Forza can't come back and win the Hollywood Derby, progressing very nicely, lightly raced Uncle Mo Colt. And so that's just tomorrow. And I've got Sundays is good as well. And, again, all around the country there's some fantastic racing. But, one track for me is usually sufficient. But, I'm going to be looking around, as I mentioned, because there's some good plays around the country as well.
Did you you got a Clark opinion today? Is Tom's the Tot push them around? Or is that a spot to take a flyer?
Yeah, I looked at that race. I was very interested in the Clark. I didn't really come up with anything that I really loved, so to speak. I mean, Tom DeTot just won at the Fayette over a wet track at Sloppy Track at Keeneland. He looked terrific, but we know he likes Churchill. And, of course, Seeking the Soul, always liked Churchill. So, I mean, those are the horses that will get most of the play. I if they show up with their A games, they're probably better than the rest. But it's a good race for me, but to watch. But I don't really have a great opinion on it, and so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Good race for older horses. Always like to see the older horses, and love to see older horse races with 12 horses in it. I mean that's always fun. So I don't really have a great opinion, but I'll be watching.
Jeff, question a little bit, not far afield, but just intrigued. You know, you're West Coast and you've got proximity to Vegas and undoubtedly have people over the years that, could make a future wager bets for you. How much do you look at the future wagers? How much dabbling have you done over the years in them?
I haven't done that much dabbling. I remember getting a huge price. I want to say recent. This is 30 years ago. But I remember getting a huge price on Sunday Silence. And back then, you could bet across the board with the future bet wagering. And I got into Sunday Silence when he was like 60-1 back in the winter.
Wow.
But then you could bet across the board, and everybody knew about Easy Goer. So I said, you know, I don't know if he can beat Easy Goer, but I'll take 24-1 to run second, you know. So, and then I actually made a rather substantial hit for that, and then they canceled place and show future wagering after that. But I look at it, and I'm going to be very interested to see how Tis the Law runs in the Kentucky Jockey Club tomorrow at Churchill. I mean, I was on yet another constitution, you know, but what a stallion he's turning out to be. But Tis the Law, very impressive breaking is made at Saratoga, earned a 90 buyer speed figure, did it the right way, came back and won the Champagne, just blew the doors off a Green Light Go, a very good colt. Did it going a mile. I actually thought he belonged in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. They decided they didn't want to do that, and I understand why. I mean, they're looking down the road, and they just didn't think he was, you know, maybe up to it. But he's going to be up to this one, and 7-5 in the morning line. There's no gamble there, but Tis the Law, I think, has a chance to be exceptional. And that maybe is the one race I'm really looking forward to seeing, because he could be the goods. And, you know, I don't know what kind of chance you have of getting any kind of future, you know, odds on him, but I mean, he's the one that I think, one of three or four to me, that look like they have the most upside.
We've got the Churchill offered Derby Sire future wager pool one closing 6 o'clock on Sunday. Among those Bafferts, Jeff, who among them do you prefer? I'm curious because Eight Rings, I think everybody has gotten somewhat dismissive of. But then, you know, there are the ones that are kind of late emerging. Thousand Words runs next week. And so there is the chance to maybe get a little something on him before he flashes the next level. High Velocity off the win last week. He's 20-1 in this thing. And then there's Authentic, who for whatever reason, I don't hear anybody talking as much about Authentic when the Baffert runners come up. And I was impressed with that debut.
Yeah, I was too. I think all three of those colts you mentioned, Thousand Words, High Velocity, and Authentic, I think, in my way of thinking, I think they're all have higher upside, much better upside than Eight Rings. I really do.
And I agree.
Thousand Words strikes me as a colt that's going to get nothing but better as they stretch out. He's a colt that won first time out sprinting, but I didn't think he wanted to sprint. You know, I think they were just kind of, I won't say they were giving him a race. I wouldn't go that far, but I think the expectations was if they didn't win, no big deal. They could stretch him out, going a mile, which is what he wants to do, and then onward and upward. But he won first time out, showed a lot of resolve under pressure to win, had a task to do inside the furlong pole, and went about and did it and caught the leader and looked good. High Velocity, I watched him train before he ever ran. I thought he was a good colt. Didn't think he was great or anything like that, but, man, I've been impressed with him. Both of his wins were really, really good. So, I think at this stage, those are, you know, at least those three that you mentioned in Authentic, I think all three have a right to develop, now it's up to them. But I could see any one of those three going out and doing some exceptional things next winter.
It's funny. We've had two discussions this morning, James Scully and Darren Rogers, and Hammer a little bit too with the future wager. The one name that did not come up, and I'm going to bring it up now because this may be the place to latch on, and that is the juvenile runner-up of Blaine Wrights, Anno d'Or, 20-1 starting yesterday, and just by, you know, just by the slight obscurity of the connection, I think a chance to be of value here. And for those that forgot, he's a Medaglia d'Oro out of a Tappet mare that Mr. Redekop paid $200,000 for, and you know, is a real horse.
Yeah, we featured
400,000.
We featured him in a Black Book segment on XBTV after his maiden grass win at Golden Gate Field, and the race came up. I don't think necessarily that they were looking to run him on grass. They wanted to run him long first time out, and he won. He won by 6 or 7 lengths, looked really good. And I gave him out as a long shot, real good long shot, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, thinking that, you know, he's got a dirt pedigree, and they ran him on the grass. Doesn't mean he's a grass horse. He's never trained on dirt because he was training on the all-weather at Golden Gate, and you know, he couldn't get by Storm the Court, but he ran really, really well. So now he's got a grass win, two turning, a sensational runner-up effort in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I'm not forgetting him at all, I think he's got a chance to be a good three-year-old as well, training up north, and we shall see. But there are a lot of colts around the country like him, where maybe not quite that good or accomplished yet, but are worth following because. Right now, I don't think anybody thinks, well, at least I don't, but maybe I could be wrong, but I don't think anything the Breeders' Cup Juvenile necessarily this year was the strongest race, and there are a lot of good colts waiting in the wings and a lot of developing to do, so that's going to be part of the remainder of the year. As we go in, we have one race at Los Al Futurity, which is now a grade two, but I think there's a lot of fun coming up here just to get things established for the winter. I mean, nobody ever heard of, you know, Maximum Security at this time last year. So
it's for sure.
You know, you know,
absolutely.
Even a maiden 16 claimer at Gulfstream Park, so you can find a prospect.
They can come from anywhere. Jeff, enjoy the big weekend, and I'm heading to Los Al for next week, so I'll probably be talking to you from either. I'd probably be talking to you from Clocker's Corner actually next Friday.
Yeah, well, I'll look you up. I'll be around the corner.
Perfect. Jeff right. Siegel, everybody. J. Siegel Racing, XBTV, and at ExpressBet, and the Daymakers, and all of his analysis. Have a great holiday weekend. It's going to be tremendous. A lot of great action. Want to thank Jeff and Hammer, Derby Media, Darren Rogers, Nick Tamaro, Scully, Jay Pribman, Deja on the board as well. Good luck this weekend. We will talk to you Monday at the races.